these virtues on, then somehow everyone else will say, look at that really good, look at Ryan, he's such a good person. The emphasis of doing this is that we might be firm in our calling with which God has called us, that we might not stumble, but be sure that we will receive the promise and the reward that's been given to us. And diligence is going to be a very, very critical aspect, not just in that it stands alone, but really in every virtue. And I feel like every time I get up here to talk about a virtue, I kind of end up saying that, like, this virtue is so important for all the other virtues. Well, that's true, but we'll see that diligence really can't stand alone. It, in and of itself, it doesn't have a lot of purpose. But with the other virtues, it has great purpose. And so we'll look at that. And I think that, as mentioned before, as it begins the list of virtues, and it's mentioned again following the list of virtues, that we see the importance placed on it with the other virtues themselves. So let's remember our objectives is to ask three questions. Okay, what are the three questions? Okay, so what is this virtue? Why is this virtue important? Why does it have value? Why has God asked us to do it? And then how are we going to implement that virtue? And so for today, we want to understand diligence biblically, right? Because I think diligence in the world today is kind of known in the workforce, in school, and those kinds of things. But there is a specific usage that God has for diligence in His Word. We want to identify God's purpose for diligence, which is going to be very critical, even in that first question of understanding what God intends by diligence, or what He means when He speaks of diligence. And then determine how to implement diligence daily. And I think we're even maybe giving away a little bit of what diligence is whenever we specifically say, determine how to implement diligence daily. That there is going to be an aspect of how we are diligent and the frequency with which we are diligent. So, normally, I would spend a bunch of time going through verses to see what the Bible talks about as far as the virtue that we're speaking about this today, and then I would give you whatever the Greek says that the word actually means. I'm going to reverse that today and start with the actual Greek, which is spoude, and that diligence or spoude is the root for diligent and diligently. Like that shows up in each one of those forms. And so if you're looking for diligence in the Bible, in particular in the New Testament where we're going to see that Greek word, you're going to see these three individual forms. And it's defined as earnestness in accomplishing, promoting, or striving after anything. And additionally, with haste. Okay? So, it's actually translated as just earnestness in some versions or some translations of the scriptures. But the problem that I have is when you give me a definition that has a word like earnestness in it, I have to think, what in the world does earnestness mean? Because that's not something that I'm using in my daily vocabulary, and so maybe I don't have a great feel for that word either. So I said, well, okay, let's go ahead and put earnestness up here as well, so we have an understanding of what that means. So earnestness is seriousness and zeal in intention, which maybe I would need to define some of these words as well, but seriousness and zeal in intention, purpose, or effort. So I think you can see that this idea of diligence, this idea of earnestness, it's not haphazard. It's not something that happens by accident. It's not something that happens without thinking about it. words like earnestness or seriousness and zeal in intention means that there has to be an intentionality to it, that there has to be a focus that's placed on what you're doing. That is diligence, that there is purpose, that there is effort. Even in the Spude, the definition at the top there, striving after anything. If we look at that with this attitude of how would you have this physical activity to accomplish something, it might be something that's difficult, and you might meet resistance at times, and there might be times in which you have to strive in order to accomplish what's happening. So I want to look at how this word is used throughout the scriptures. And I'm going to go back to the Old Testament to begin, because this is not always the best way of defining a word, but sometimes it gives us some additional information on what the word is. But we can see that the opposite of diligence, I would have just said, is apathy. Right? That would have been my kind of interpretation of, if you were going to say diligence, what's the opposite? I would have said apathy. But the scriptures really look at it as lazy is being the opposite of diligence. And if we start back in the Proverbs, we would see in Proverbs 12 and verse 27, a lazy man does not roast his prey, but the precious possession of a man is diligence. Okay, that lazy man and what he doesn't do, what does that paint the picture of? What kind of person is this lazy man in this verse here?
Half-finished project.
Okay. Sorry. Mason's stepping on my toes here. He's been to my house. He's seen my half-finished projects. Right? But that even something that has enough is as much value as cooking your food, he just doesn't do it. Why? Because it's effort. That's work. That's excessive. I've already got the food. Why would I cook it? But on the opposite of that lazy man realizes that diligence is a precious possession, that it's worthy of taking this action, of doing this task, even though it's more effort, even though it's more difficult, there is value in doing that. So we're seeing the opposite here in Proverbs 12:27 is that you have the lazy man and the diligent man. Again, in 10 verses 4, poor is he who works with a negligent hand, but the hand of the diligent, which was supposed to be highlighted, makes rich. Okay, so we have negligent, right, or the hand that's really not focused. It's not putting itself to the task. But that man, what happens to that man? He's poor. The result of that is poor. And I would say in Proverbs 2, when you're looking at these are things that very easily can be applied to just your general work at your office, at your school, whatever it is that you're doing. It's pretty simple to see that the scriptures are telling you diligence is required for accomplishment. Okay? Here we have the negligent hand, the hand that works without that zeal to accomplish the specific task at hand to the highest level. But the diligent, the hand of the diligent, makes rich. Proverbs 21:5, the plans of the diligent lead surely to advantage. Once again, I mean, this is easily seen in the work environment. But everyone who is hasty comes surely to poverty. What do you think he means by hasty? Okay, poor decisions, right? Made just kind of a quick decision. Good. What else? Right. Very good. Very good. So we can see what that hasty means by looking back at diligently. That diligent person is planning. He's looking ahead. He's seeing the value in what is to come. And he says, okay, these are the steps that I should take. Even laying out steps that might be a little bit difficult, that require some extra effort. Okay. Right.
As opposed to being, as you say, planning things out and being diligent.
Right, right. So that last minute, I wouldn't know anything about last minute preparation for things. Not this class, though. I was diligent early because I knew if I had to do this. So there are, I think all these things combined together show, like, first of all, there needs to be planning that's involved. If there's not planning involved, then what you're going to end up doing is just rushing through something that is going to lead to poverty. I think there's one more thing, and this is what I immediately have thought of whenever I read this verse, and I thought, well, maybe I'm just reading something into this. And I read a couple of other readings to see, is there any significance to this? And I saw it in several different places. But the idea of the get-rich-quick scheme. Maybe I can just do something really quick and I'll make a bunch of money. You know, or I'll just buy this thing, or I'll just jump in and be part of this plan, and boom, it's gonna explode, and I'm just, but without any real plan or thought or purpose behind it, without considering the effort that I'm going to have to put into it. And so whenever you start that project, or whenever you start that goal of, you know, making that money, and you realize, well, this is going to be a lot more work, or I'm going to have to go find people that are willing to buy this thing that has really no value to anybody whatsoever. At that point, that hasty decision, or that decision to try and just get something quickly by doing this quick action, doesn't really work. And the scriptures are pretty clear, if you read from beginning to end, there is no get-rich-quick scheme. That doesn't exist. Right? God intends for us to work hard, to work diligently. Steve. Right, right. So diligence would require not only the plan, but the willingness to execute the plan as it comes about. Very good. Lastly, in Proverbs 13:4, at least just looking at the Proverbs here, the soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, but the soul of the diligent is made fat. What does the sluggard do in this verse? Wants. Craves, right? Okay. So, yes, Michelle. Daydreaming, right? Man, it would be great to have this thing. It would be great if I had that 5,000 square foot home or that really nice Porsche or whatever it may be. And I'm speaking in worldly terms right now because we haven't moved all the way forward to the point that we are going to get speaking about these things with a biblical perspective. But craving, desiring, is clearly not enough. And I think that's where we have a bit of a danger. I really want to be a godly person. I really want to love my brother. I really wish that my Bible knowledge was like this person's Bible knowledge. And the scriptures say craving something, the desire for something, which I think oftentimes we do have. We recognize that these are good things, and we desire them, but because of our sluggishness, because of our laziness, we're not willing to put our hands in diligence to the thing that will actually accomplish that thing. And so desire is not enough. The wish to have something or to increase in something is not sufficient. It will require diligence. But it's not just in Proverbs. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 11 and 12 says, "And we desire that each one of you," and that's the Hebrew writer speaking, "we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." So the Hebrew writer here says that you have to show diligence in order to do what? To avoid sluggishness, right? We don't want to be part of the unacting group of people, but we want to be part of those who act, and act for the purpose of what? So that we will realize what? the full assurance of our hope. Right? This is kind of what hangs in the balance. You can be sluggish, lazy, concerning the promises of God and the commandments of God. And if so, because of your lack of diligence, you will not realize the full assurance of the hope that you have been given. All right? So this is not just kind of something that is take it or leave it. It's not just something that you might apply on some days and not apply on other days. Right? Like I said at the very beginning, we're kind of giving away a little bit of what diligence is whenever we say we're going to apply it daily. It's going to have to happen continually. It can't be something that we just think about on an occasional basis, right? And that's not the only place that we're going to see that talks about what hangs in the balance when we're talking about the difference between being diligent and not being diligent, which here is mentioned as being sluggish or being a sluggard or being lazy. We've also seen being hasty, just making quick decisions without thought, without plan, or just doing something with negligence, not really considering the actions that we're taking and what they lead to. It's not just the opposite of lazy, though. It's also seeking an opportunity to act quickly and with effort. Okay? So I'm going to give you some verses that actually don't use diligence the way we're using it in the first few verses here, or even really the way that it's used in 2 Peter 1, but it gives a greater understanding of the definition of diligence. In 2 Timothy 4:9, 4:21, and Titus 3:12, Paul says, make every effort to come to me soon. Make every effort to come before winter. When I send Artemis and Tychicus to you, make every effort to come to me in Nicopolis. Make every effort is that spout A or spout A. Okay? That's the same word there. So when we're reading the word diligence or diligently or be diligent, we could say it's the same as make every effort. Not just make effort, not just make an effort, but make every effort. It's going to be something that we take every opportunity when we realize the value of something, when we say, how is this applied today? How is this applied tomorrow? How is this going to be applied in the future? How am I going to plan for this 10 years down the road? Well, I'm going to have to make every effort. It's going to require increasing in knowledge.
So, New King James actually used the word diligence.
Okay. New King James actually puts the word diligence in there. I'm a stickler for New American Standard for the most part. It's mostly just because it's what I've been reading for most of my life. That may not be the best thing in the world, I understand.
Right.
I did use one word from the new from the King James later, and we'll see if Sewell can point out which one it is. Dustin. I'm not. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. It's more like I am preparing myself for when things happen to me.
Right.
While diligence is I'm preparing myself to do other things.
Right.
Diligence seems very active in what I'm doing. Mm-hmm.
Right. There is a lot of overlap that's still going to come, in particular when we start to think about the way diligence is used in 2 Peter 1 there. Because he's using it for a group of people that are kind of already in a place, and he's saying be diligent to continue in these things. But yeah, steadfastness seems to be I have this foundation, I'm firm in this place, and I'm anchoring myself. Right? And when something comes in here or here or here, not moving. Right? Diligence is that planning to get a step further and a step further. Maybe even so that steadfast, that foundation that you have is just stronger and deeper and deeper and deeper. But they go hand in hand for sure. Steve?
When you read that first line, seek an opportunity to act quickly with effort, it almost in to the end, it's not something that's a one-time, you can sit back on your laurels type of thing, but it's in that sense, maybe steadfastness comes into play because it's a continual action. You can't be lazy, you can't sit back waiting for it to come to you. You have to take action, but it's not a, once you do the action, you can sit back and rest.
Right. Right. It's not that. That's probably maybe a little bit misleading to say seeking opportunity to act quickly. It's not a one-time action. The importance of the idea of acting quickly is it's also not something you're putting off till later. Right. So it's not something that you're going to do one time and it's going to be complete. And now I have diligence in my life. And at the same time, it's not something I'm going to say, well, I will start to study in a year or so, or I'll really start to show love for my brother once I have him over to the house three or four times and I can build kind of a relationship. That's the issue, is when we start to push diligence off, or when we start to assume that diligence is somehow something that, well, it'll come later down the road. Right? What Paul's saying right here is start looking now for when you can come to me. Make every effort to win as to when you can come and see me.
Mm-hmm. By doing the opposite of lazy, it keeps the immorality from penetrating our lives. Mm-hmm. So we have to be diligent, because the immoral or the temptation in everything, really, are also being diligent to make sure that we pick that over evil, what is good.
Right. So, yeah, we have to be diligent, and we're going to get into that a little bit more, but that's a very good statement. We have to be diligent because the opportunity to sin is diligent as well, because we're receiving diligence from the opposite side in our, I don't want to say competition, in the fight to keep clean, to keep pure, to maintain these virtues. Okay, I want to do kind of just one more on the what is diligence. It doesn't stand alone, right? We've kind of said that. Diligence, you can be diligent, but diligent in what? Diligent to do what? Diligently whatting, okay? And so diligence has to be directed towards something. It has to be directed in something, right? In Luke 15:8, where it talks about the woman who has the 10 pieces of silver, if she loses one piece, does she not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she finds it? Okay, so what she realizes here is the value of what she has lost. And when you see the value in something, diligence should and can follow along behind it. If we do not see the value in something, we will not have diligence in attaining to that thing, in accomplishing that thing, in working towards that thing. So one of the things we have to realize is because diligence has to be directed in a certain way and requires an end goal, an end result that we're looking for, we have to realize the end result or the end goal has value. And you can see that in where somebody places their diligence, what they put their hand to, what they plan for, what they set aside money for, what they're willing to sweat for, right? The world is pretty good about being diligent to make money. People will look for a lot of opportunities to do a lot of things to make money. Why? Because money has value to them. Money is worth their time and effort and their sweat. Okay? As this woman realizes that what she has lost has great value to her, she turns her whole house upside down in order to find what it is that she has lost. And then we even see that afterwards she finds it and she calls all her friends and says, I found it. Come celebrate with me. Okay? So the question is, what do we place value in? Because if we don't place value in the things that are God's values, then we're not going to be diligent in either acquiring or living in those principles. In Luke 10, verses 40 and 41, this is where Martha and Mary are there with Jesus. And it says Martha was distracted with all her preparations. Was there value in Martha preparing food and the home and all those kinds of things as Jesus was there? Yes. But where did Mary place her value? In listening to Jesus, in hearing the truth, in knowing the direction that she should be going in the living of her life, right? Martha's value was placed in preparing the food and preparing the home. Things that are not wrong. Just like going to work and working diligently in order to provide for your family are not wrong. But when the value that you place on that is greater than the value that you place on understanding and knowing God's will to serve Him better, your diligence is going to be in your work and it's not going to be in your service to God. So diligence can't be something that we do and something we don't see value in. Diligence only comes whenever we recognize the value in the action. Okay, so why do we need diligence? All right. Oh, also, by the way, that was the King James Version right there, the diligence. It uses carefully in the New American Standard Version. Okay, so why do we need diligence? I think in the lesson material that I handed out, there was something completely different for this section. And then I got to talking with somebody in the class after one of the earlier classes, and they asked the question, or kind of mentioned, that in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, as you're kind of beginning this section of the virtues, that we get to verse 5, where it says, "Now for this reason also apply all diligence," that you have this "now for this very reason." Okay, and so the question is like, what is this very reason? And I just kind of looked back at verses 3 and 4, and I thought, well, I mean, it's really just all the things in verses 3 and 4. It's that we have seen His divine power. He's granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. He's granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. But in preparation for this class, I might have changed my thoughts on that just a little bit. Although I do still believe that verses 3 and 4, all of the things that are in there, give reason to apply diligence to the virtues that follow. But as I look at it a little bit more, I think about what is said at the very end of verse 4 there. God's granted these precious promises to us, and through His divine power, He has granted us everything pertaining to life and godliness. But at the end right there, it says, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Basically, that Christ, in His sacrifice, and God, in His planning and purpose, has brought you out of the world which is corrupted because of its lusts. And because of that, you need to apply all diligence in your faith, supplying virtue or moral excellence and moral excellence knowledge and so on and so forth. And the reason that I think that this is kind of the now for this very reason that he's talking about, and you can argue with me afterwards if you would like, or you can argue with me now if you would like to. In as he finishes the virtues, and he comes back to kind of a statement, these statements about what is surrounding these virtues. He says in verse 9, "For he who lacks these qualities," and he's talking about those virtues, "that you, if you don't diligently apply these virtues, and you are lacking in them, what are you? And what do you forget?" You forget that you were purified. You forget that you escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. If you don't diligently add these virtues. So it says, he's saying, because you have been brought out, because you are no longer part of the corruption that is in this world, applying all diligence, supply your faith with moral excellence and your moral excellence with knowledge. Because if you don't do that, you'll be right back in the world which you were just brought out of. But because you've been brought out of that, you have to know that these things need to be added to you. And you need to be adding them, once again, this is the surrounding passages of those virtues, be all the more diligent to make certain this being called out, this no longer being in the corruption of the world that was brought on by lust, that instead you are brought out and you are certain about that steadfastness, about that place in which you're standing. Because if you diligently add these virtues, what happens? You'll never stumble. Right? And I think that that's an amazing thought. I mean, we're very careful, even in the business world, I guess you would say, about absolutes. We have some documents that we send to customers, and they are vague. They are vague because we have to know, like, okay, if we say this, and they really hold us to it, then we're going to say, oh, we're going to lose a bunch of money on that. We're not even going to be able to do that because that's impossible. And so we have to be very clear about how we word these things so we make sure that we're not promising something that we can't hold to. This says you will never stumble. Never stumble. If we are perfect in these virtues, which is what we're striving for. I think we're always very hesitant to say, nobody's perfect, nobody's going to be perfect. But that's still what we should be striving for. That's still the goal. If we are attaining to that daily, if we're striving for that diligently, then the likelihood of our stumble, it just goes down further and further and further and further. And if we could be perfect in these things, God says, you will never stumble. There's no question. There's no concern at that point. But if we don't put these things on, if we're not willing to work in diligence to put these things on, what's going to happen is we'll be right back where we were before we were called out of the world, before we escaped the corruption that's in the world by lust. Does anybody have any thoughts on that? Go ahead, Sewell.
Lust is desire, and the world has desire for many things.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. To have the proper desire for these precious promises.
Right.
And it's going to take diligence to attain them.
Right.
It's not just a thing of letting God do it all.
Right. That's very good. I appreciate you. Right. I appreciate you bringing that out because we had mentioned earlier that the sluggard, the lazy man, he has a desire, but he's not willing to diligently put his hand to it. Maybe because he doesn't see the full value of it. But when we see what God has promised us, we diligently, not just in desire, which can be given to the world or can be given to whatever it is that the world is promising us, but instead being, as you mentioned, active participants, striving forward for what we see the great value. Go ahead, Steve.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Then she received that justice that mm-hmm. she is due. But she has to do something to get to that point, to get the judge to relent.
That's a great point. So you said Luke 18 is the parable of the woman that prays, or not that goes to the judge continually to receive her justice. And we know that our God is far greater than any earthly judge, right? But there's this continual going to in prayer to Him, to diligently do it. And that's not the only place that God's going to talk about doing it repeatedly, over and over again, on a daily basis. And we're going to get to that a little bit, hopefully, in the how to do this in just a few minutes. But that's definitely a theme of God's Word, is that it's not a one and done, like Steve mentioned. It's not you accomplish it and sit back and now I have love, knowledge, self-control. But it's something that's going to have to be continual. I do want to mention, too, so that we're looking at 2 Peter chapter 1, but if we were to go back to 1 Peter in chapter 5, if we look at verse 8, it says, "Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." So he's looking at people that are believers, and he says, okay, you have been called out of this world that is corrupt by lust, by the desires that this world has, but guess what? If you are aimless in your wandering, there is something out there that is seeking to devour you. And if I told you, I think I've used this probably more than once standing up in front of you guys. If I were to tell you tonight after services, if you stand around and talk and it gets dark outside and you're about to go to your car, that somewhere in the parking lot is a lion that hasn't eaten in 2 months. What would it look like for you to be going to your car? Would you just kind of take a winding path on your phone, you know, not really paying attention? Would your keys be somewhere in the bottom of your purse or in one of your pockets? No, you would be sober-minded. You would realize the quickest path. But not only that, what would you be looking out for? Where is the lion? I got to know where he is at all times, because I know that if I'm not paying attention, if I'm not realizing what he wants to do, then I'm going to get caught. So as he finishes his letter in his first letter, and he's talking about, look, you may be understanding of the promises of God and even called out of the world at this point, but the devil is diligently seeking to try and get you back. He's diligently seeking to devour you. And if you are not diligent in your understanding of that and your understanding of how to stay away from him, then you'll be eaten. In Hebrews 4, verses 10 and 11, "For the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works as God did from his." And this is looking at Hebrews where it's talking about a better Sabbath, right? Not the Sabbath that is once a week and is incomplete, but really is a shadow of what is to come with an eternal rest. "Therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest." Why? So that no one will fall through following the same example of disobedience. If we're not diligent, even though at this point we may be saved, we may, if you have put on Christ through baptism, if you have been made perfect through the blood of Christ, and if you are walking on a path that is in the footsteps of Christ at this point, guess what? If you're not diligent, you can very easily be taken off that path. If you are not diligent, you'll follow the same examples of disobedience that have been since the beginning of time. And there is not surety outside of that path, except that it leads to destruction. So be diligent to walk circumspectly to enter into that rest, because if not, you will fall. It's not you might fall. Nobody is going to accidental their way into their eternal rest. It just does not happen. Diligence is required. Okay, so how do we apply diligence? I mentioned Ephesians chapter 4 in the lesson. I just really, really quickly, okay, sorry. We have to see the value in the right things. We've mentioned that. We want to recognize that we're not going to succeed without it. And we have to apply diligence to the right things, right? If we see that we have value in following after Christ, then we have to apply it to the virtues that we have. So diligently seeking knowledge, diligently loving our brother, diligently controlling self, diligently standing firm in steadfastness, diligently being long-suffering. Okay, all those things are things that we will not accidentally have. They're all things that are going to take planning and forethought and effort in order to accomplish. All right? In Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 3, just really quickly, He says, therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling. We have that walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you've been called. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. What does diligence look like here in this diligence of preserving the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace? How does that happen? Right. Humility, gentleness, patience, and then showing tolerance for one another in love, which is going to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Brotherly love, along with these other, with the gentleness and the patience and the humility, brotherly love is going to take diligence in order to unify the body. And I'm not talking about, as it mentions here, showing tolerance for one another, just putting up with sin, saying, yep, it's okay if you sin. The scriptures are clear that's not what this is talking about. But oftentimes, the rift between brothers has nothing to do with doctrinal issues. When the things that are outside come in, that's when the issue comes. And so we're going to have to diligently realize that's something that's creeping in from the world that I know the world holds as a high virtue that has nothing to do with us. Let's put that out. Let's put the divisiveness of the world away that's looking to divide us and realize that I'm going to have to be diligent to realize that there's some differences between us because of our background or because of what we know or because of the maturity we have as Christians might be different. Any of those kinds of things. I'm going to work diligently to make sure that that's not something that divides us as individuals and us as a group. But I want to jump to this really quickly. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9, and I hate that we're so late in this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is the Lord is your God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons. You shall talk of them when you sit down, when you walk, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Do you see the completeness in these verses? And I skipped verses 1 through 3, which talk about obeying all commandments of the Lord. Mentioned twice. Love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. There is intentionality in that. There is zeal in that, that you will not accidentally fall into. It's just not possible. And it's going to be in all these different places. On your heart, with your sons, when you sit, when you walk, where you lie down, where you rise up. Lest you be bound to you. You shall write them on these places, your heart, your sons, and your house, by the way you walk, when you lie down, rise up, on your hand, on your forehead, on the doorposts of your house, and on your gates. Diligence does not apply to one or two aspects of your life. It doesn't apply to one or two aspects of my life. It doesn't apply to the time where maybe we're in this building or with people that we typically see in this building. It doesn't even apply to maybe one or two studies a week that I have outside of this building. Diligence applies in your heart. It applies in the way that you talk to your children. It applies to the places that you walk outside of this building. And it applies to the way that you go to sleep and the way that you wake up. What is on your mind? What are your thoughts? I like this, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand. Do the things that you do show where you place your value? Do the way that you do things, does the way that you do things show where you place your value? When people see you coming, can they see on your forehead, this is what I'm all about? And you know what? We're probably going to have a conversation and it's probably going to be about God. If they came into your house, would they know by your doorposts and by your gates, what you were coming into? Diligence would say that this has to apply to every single aspect of our life. Those virtues need to be applied everywhere, not just in one place. Sorry that we were kind of quick in the end coming there, but thank you for your patience and your comments. Oh, yes, sorry. And also, Dustin handed out a survey. If you would please fill that out and give it to them as quickly as you can, or me. Yeah, you can give it to me too. If we could get them today, that would be great. I think Wednesday would be okay. All right. Wednesday's the deadline, though.